a tough sermon, simply because as I'm giving it, I realize that some people will take this sermon differently than others. And you're going to have to take it as God presents it. It is good and applicable for everybody here. It may focus more on a few people here. But all Scripture, my understanding is, all Scripture is God-breathed, and it's useful in training, teaching, discipleship. So all of it. I don't know if you're sitting here how God is going to take this sermon and now apply it to your heart. Because instantly, as I'm doing the sermon, I realize some of you fall right into this. So if you're sitting there and you're going to see with the sermon and you know it's, you know God's talking to you, it's straight shot. Some of you may be sitting there and you're going, how does this apply to me? Well, I don't know. But God does. God will find some part of this sermon and open up your heart. It may be that He's using you to be an encourager or supporter of some of the other ones that this is going to fall straight on. So I know God when He speaks is good for all of us. Amen? How many are married? How many have been married? Everybody that had your hand up before, you have to have it up now. Okay? You have been married, right? Okay. How many have ever thought about marriage? How many believe that marriage is good? How many ever think about getting married? Have you ever thought about it? This message is really for you guys. Married. Marriage is an interesting relationship. And I'm going to choose my words real careful. Marriage is a relationship. What I find fascinating at Faith Community Chapel in a group this size, have you ever seen the commercials? They advertise lawyers. And there's a group in New York, they advertise here, and they have the largest group of doctor lawyers on staff of any agency in the United States. And then they tell you how many years experience they've had. And I started to think about, I wonder how many years of experience we have at marriage. How many of you have been married 10 years, 15 years, 20, 25 years, 30 years? Now this is where if we had flowers up here, we'd start giving them out. 35, 40. You see, this, and now all the husbands are turning to the wives going, if I have to come up with the exact number, 45. You see, I knew that. 45 years experience being married. 44 years. Dick, 43 years. 42. Isn't that amazing? I wonder how many years experience at marriage we have in this 20-year group. And there's some of you that really, honestly, at this point, don't qualify. Not yet. Not yet. Marriage is interesting. How many found your marriage relationship interesting? I better move on. But just think of how many total years. First of all, by the way, you are not normal. The highest divorce rate is for couples that are experiencing now empty nest. It's not 10 years into the marriage. It's 25 years into the marriage. They now experience divorce. It's the highest rate at empty nest. And I wonder why that is. It's because the kids have held the marriage together. When the kids leave the home, the husband and wife got nothing to hold them together. And that's sad. That's why it's so awesome when you see couples married 40 years. Because more than likely their kids are not in the home. Some of them still are in the basement. But what that says is that the relationship also has fellowship. You see, God has created relationships. A relationship is a set order of things. A relationship is a plan that's in place. That's a relationship. And God has done that, hasn't He? Look at this. God is the one who said the perfect relationship is one man, one woman. That's the simplest, closest relationship. But it is a set form. One man, one woman, it's a relationship. The problem that we have is fellowship. We're okay with the relationship, you all are, is God's perfect plan. One man, one woman, relationship. But fellowship is how the people in that relationship work together. That's fellowship. So don't get the two confused. Relationship is a set form that God has put in place. This is how it is. The fellowship is how we conduct ourselves inside of that relationship. Fellowship is what keeps marriages together. It's how much we love the other person. It's how much compassion we have for that person. It's how much understanding, consideration, how much commitment we have to that person. That's all fellowship. The relationship is one man, one woman. Now we can see how relationships work. How many have a family? That's a loaded question. Everybody here has a family. How many have or had grandparents? Parents. Some of you did not. You see, those are relationships. They're groups and subgroups. But how many have ever fought with inside of your family? That's fellowship. That's not relationship. That's how you love each other inside what God has said. This is now a relationship. How many have close friends? You spend a lot of time with them, close to them. That's a relationship. Close friends are a relationship. How they become your friend and how they continue to stay your friend is fellowship. We have the relationship of casual friends. We see them once in a while. We associate with them once in a while. Normally, the commitment of fellowship is not as great inside casual friends as it is in close friends. So God has a set order in place. The simplest, purest relationship that God ever established is between humanly, is between one man and one woman. Now we have messed that up. You haven't. The world has. By the way, the simplest plan, and by the way, is God perfect? Yeah. So whatever he puts in place is perfect. One man, one woman. Do you start to understand family problems when there's two mommies or two dads? The fellowship is a mess. Not only is the fellowship a mess, but it now causes the relationship to be non-existent. God has made the perfect relationship. One man, one woman. If we had gotten it right, if there would have been listening and obedience, the world would be in much better shape than it is now because of the family unit. It's a perfect one. Now, today, we're not going to change the world. Our attempt today is to change your world. It's where you live. It's where you reside. It's the simplest relationship. One man, one woman. And I have a feeling that if you're sitting there going, this doesn't apply to me, well, it does. You can encourage, you can support. God is consistent. So if the marriage thing doesn't quite fit you, you do have friends, you do have family. Fellowship is the way that these relationships increase and get better. Lord, we ask for your wisdom and your knowledge today. Lord, give us guidance, give us direction. But Lord, I'm asking also that you would give us honesty, that we could look at ourselves and say, I'm falling a little bit behind here, or this isn't exactly the way God has it planned out. Lord, help us to be willing to change. Lord, help us to be better. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the interesting things about being a pastor is you get to marry people. you get to perform the marriage ceremony. And more importantly for the pastor is the counseling that's before the marriage. I'm not sure I have one or two cases married somebody real quick. There were reasons for that. But most of the time, they go at least through 4 counseling sessions. And by the time the 4th one happens, you really start to know this couple that's sitting across the table. And you can really tell about this couple who are in love how much they love each other. And it's a real easy thing to figure out. All you have to do is pick on one of them. And if I pick on the bride-to-be and the husband doesn't stand up, something's not right. Or if I pick on the husband, normally the wife steps up and says, hey, that's, where's this lead? The husband and wife is the simplest, purest relationship, and how the husband loves his wife and the wife loves her husband is fellowship, which God also has set in place. But God has intended this relationship to consist of one man and one woman. Only one man, one woman. God's plan for marriage. He has a plan. Turn to Genesis chapter 2. Well, we've been married a long time and we know all this. Then my question is, do you practice it? For what God is going to share, we've been married a long time. We've stayed the course. We love each other because we do. I'm just saying, listen to what God has to say today. Genesis chapter 2, go to verse 23. You may have it highlighted or circled or underlined. You probably know this passage. Genesis chapter 2, verse 23. The man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. That is God's plan for marriage. One man, one woman, becoming one. That's God's plan. What he's saying is that fellowship between a husband and wife should grow so close that you can't tell one from the other. That's God's plan. What this tells me is this. The bride should be the to the groom. I didn't stutter. The bride should be the to the groom. The groom should be the to the bride. The groom should be the. That means this, that your spouse should be the in your marriage. The spouse should be more important in this marriage than you are. That you're lifting that spouse above you because you love them that much. We get a little bit further, you're gonna start getting this. Someone else set this example. But in a marriage, the bride should be the absolute most important thing to the groom. I'm talking relationship humanly. Okay? The bride should be the most important thing to the husband. And the husband should be the most important thing that there is to the wife. Now, God values people. He really does. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus is speaking and he says, you're a hidden treasure. He's speaking to us individually, which means I must be really awesome because Jesus considers me a treasure. He also considers me in Matthew 13 a pearl of great price. That person would give away everything to get that pearl. It'll start sounding familiar here in a minute. That they would give away the best, all that they got to get that one most important prize, that great pearl. That's you. God looks at you that way. You're a pearl of great price. He gave up everything to get you. You're that important. That should be the marriage between a husband and a wife. The is the most important thing in my relationship is my spouse. Now God has another relationship in mind. He has ordered up or prescribed that within that human relationship, it can only be the best if he's involved in it. So lots of people get married, lots of people get divorced, but the ideal relationship is between a husband and wife becoming one and God. That's the absolute perfect relationship. God with this union that has formed out of two. One plus one equals one. The most important person in your life, humanly, should be your spouse. And that's where you all would say, amen. That's the way God designed it. Genesis chapter 5, God's plan for marriage. Genesis chapter 5. Another one verse here that we have read and read and read quite a few times. You probably have read it a lot on your own. But I wanted you to pay attention to it this time. I want you to look at the verse. Genesis chapter 5, verse 2. He, that is God, created them, male and female. And he blessed them and named them man in the day when they were created. Isn't that interesting? You see, God just did something here that we don't really think about. What has he done? He has created male and female, and he has called them man. Actually, Adam. He called them, the two of them, he called them man. Now, what has God just done? He's done two really important things. He joined them together and created them. But as he has done this, he did this in an awesome way. Look at this. He created them male and female. He blessed them and named them man. Mankind. Adam. Man. Mankind. Same thing. He called them them. He called two of them, male and female, he called them Adam, man, mankind. He took a male and female and joined them together into one. But God also did something else when he did this. Notice he created male and female. He blessed them and they became one. What God did not do is place one superior to the other. You can't. They're one. One cannot be superior to the other one because he joined them together into one. He took two and come up with one. That tells me something. Who is the superior one? The man or the woman? In God's eyes, neither. They carry the same value. Remember, you are a pearl of great price. He's concerned about you. He has not placed man in a superior position over the woman. And honestly, to be completely fair, he has not placed woman to be superior over man. He has taken two and joined them into one. And that is his ideal relationship. How they connect within that relationship is the fellowship of that relationship. There's something that you probably did at your wedding. There was something that happened, probably was read or preached at some point in your ceremony. Now, it may take some of you a while to think back that far, but there is usually one thing that's mentioned. It'll either be that someone's going to read the passage or the preacher is going to say it. And it goes something like this. The two shall become one flesh. That's God's plan for marriage. This world has really messed that up. It's because we didn't get the fellowship right. God not only has a plan for marriage, but he's got a process of how this actually takes place. Look at Genesis 2, verse 24. And I'm not sure how literal you look at verses, But if it makes sense to me, I look at it that way. Look at verse 24. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, one flesh. They shall become one flesh. They shall become. It's a process. It doesn't take place overnight. But eventually, the two become one. That's how God has it set in place. Now, as a couple comes into a marriage, the lady has her history, and all that she has in her mind comes to the marriage. She bring in all of it, good and bad. She's bringing into this relationship. The husband comes from a different background. He comes from a different place. He comes from a different ideology. He comes into the wedding bringing all that is good and all that is bad. And the two get married because they love each other. And then they become one flesh. They start to mesh together. How many loved your wife when you got married? You loved your wife when you got married. Do you love her more now? Why? There's the fellowship. Is we have become one. We love each other. We love each other more today than we did yesterday. It's because you're becoming one flesh, but it's a process. It's not a miracle. It's not instantaneous. How many have ever had a fight? Can a fight be a positive thing? Oh, yeah, it's a positive thing if you learn from it. God has a process for marriage. I'm going to give us an illustration. The names have been changed to protect the innocent. This is a true story. I am going to change the names. Let's call them Jam and Jen. Jam and Jen have been married for quite some time. I don't know how long. But you can see God's process of how marriage happens in their lives. It was awesome. Because Jam and Jen would sit down and start to tell a story of what happened years ago. And about halfway through the story, Jam would turn to Jen and she would say, "Honey, you finish the story." And he would pick right up where she left off. It was one continuous story. It's because they had been married so long and they were becoming one. It was funny because no matter what it was, the one would turn to the other one and say, "You finish it." It's the process of becoming one. You've been together so long, you start to act alike. You know what the other one's thinking. You know what their answer will be in a certain situation because it's like you're answering it. The becoming is a process. It does take time. Now, God has this perfect relationship set up, but I want you to take your insert, the sermon insert, and I want you to draw this. But you have a triangle. Good? God is always at the top. Amen? See, I'm bringing even science into today. You can see that, right? That's the symbol for man. Good. There's the perfect relationship right there. Got it? Husband and wife. What happens is the husband and wife start to love each other, they notice each other, and then they get married. So now there's a bond between the husband and wife. What happens as the husband and wife get closer in their fellowship with each other? As they get closer in their fellowship, that's the perfect relationship. It's not just a husband and wife. It's a husband, a wife, and God. If we could do that, there would be no divorce. If God is that important to the husband and wife, as they grow closer together, they grow closer to God. That's the perfect marriage, the perfect process of getting married. Now, God has even upped it because he looks at us and he goes, "Well, they're my most fantastic creation, but sometimes they're a little slow. It takes them some time, a little while to comprehend what I'm trying to get across sometimes. So let me make it even more clear." So God has now set a relationship in place. Now he wants to show us the difference between a relationship and fellowship within the context of marriage. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. And if some of this sounds familiar, there's a reason for that. Because during marriage counseling, I give the perfect relationship. Man, God has this thing perfect. We just got to abide by it. Ephesians chapter 5. God now says there's a plan for marriage, but there's also a process of getting married. There's this thing that, you know, marriage is not just him signing the certificate and it going to court. It's a bond. It's a union that takes place. And now within that relationship, there has to be fellowship or the relationship's not going to hold together. Ephesians chapter 5, go to verse 22. And God speaks. And if God speaks, your opinion doesn't matter. If God speaks, it's the absolute truth. It's perfect. And at this point, your opinion doesn't really matter. Doesn't change God. Verse 22. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. What God says is, wives, be subject to your own husbands. This usually puts a smile on the husband's face because he gets to say, I'm the boss. And the wife usually gets a smile on her face saying, yeah, sure you are. What God says is, in this relationship, the relationship is set in place by Almighty God. He said, how this marriage happens and this relationship grows is that the wives are to submit to their husbands. And husbands are fine with that until we read the small print. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as you are to the Lord. Am I paraphrasing that correct? I am. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. What that verse is saying is, wives, be subject to your husbands as you are subject to the Lord. Now, wives, this is simply fellowship. How are you subject to the Lord? You love Him. You give yourself completely to Him. He is the to you. How you give yourself to your husband is the same way that you give yourself to the Lord. He is everything to me. He means more to me than I mean to me. That's what the verse says. Now, what God has done here is He has given us a relationship and told us how we need to function within it. Christ is the groom. The church is His bride. The bride is to be subject to the husband, which means the bride is to listen and love the groom more than anything. That's what Scripture says. God's got this thing. The perfect relationship spiritually is between the groom, Jesus Christ, and the bride, the church. He loves her. She loves him. That's how it works. Now take it a step further. Wives, be subject to your husbands. Why? Because you love them. That puts an awful lot of responsibility on the husband because you're to take care of your bride. I get to be the boss. And then reality steps in because God's not done with this passage of Scripture. Go to verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church. You see, the man is more than happy to step up and say, I'm the boss. But the kicker is, you're to love your wife as Christ loved the church. Now, how much did Christ love the church? He gave himself up for her. Now, let's not get too carried away for her. So far, what does it mean that Christ gave himself up for her? See, I may look at it a little different than you do. Where was Christ before he came to this earth? He was dwelling in heaven, the perfect dwelling place. In heaven, he was all God. Amen? He was all God, all knowing, all sufficient. He was everything. And then he came to this world and he becomes the God-man. Did Christ give up anything to come here? Oh, yeah. He gave up living in glory. And by the way, he gave up some other things to become a man. He gave himself up for the church. Christ set aside an awful lot so that he could be in relationship and fellowship with you. But then he went to the extreme, because then he died for you. How ought a husband to love his wife as Christ loved the church? Which means your wife is more important than you are. You would give up yourself to save her. She is that important to you. Now remember, God does not show superiority in the relationship. So if wives love their husbands, equally the husband needs to love the wife. It's a union. It's not a dictatorship. He loves her enough that he keeps her clean. He keeps her pure. It says sanctify her. But what Christ is doing is presenting the church to himself as an absolute perfect bride. Clean. Pure. Husbands, do we treat our wives that way? With the utmost respect, the most love that we can muster up. Do we treat our wives that way? Do you love your wife as much as you love you? Do you love her as much as you love yourself? You see, it seems to me in this fellowship, it's got to be give and take. You love her as much as you love you. If we could get that concept, I think our marriages would be different. Ladies, you got to let your husband be the head of the house. That's his position according to the Lord. The perfect relationship is a union between Jesus, the husband, and the wife. That's the perfect relationship. I was listening to some radio show this week, and it's like they're confirming and affirming my thoughts during the week. And I can remember a mom, a wife, making this statement. I love my husband, but I love my kids more, because the blood that courses through their body came from me. And I love them more because part of me is in them. And that is completely unscriptural. God said the two shall become one. It's one. The most important person to the wife, humanly, is your husband. And being that God did not place either one in superiority, the husband loves his wife as Christ loved the church. And the wife needs to be loving the husband the same way as to the Lord. One of the neatest things that I've seen, and I can remember it, I can even remember the couple, never saw the front, just saw the back. We were at the mall, walking down through the concourse, and there was lots of room to walk. But you could tell the couple in front of us had to be in their 80s. They walked really slow. They both had white hair, and it was like they were hooked at the hip. What I found so fascinating was they were walking down through the mall holding hands. And I thought to myself, how precious that is. A husband and a wife, 80-some years old, and they love each other that much. Not in a hurry, just together, walking side by side. You see, God's got the perfect relationship set in place. It's a husband and a wife joined together to him. The fellowship is what makes the marriage, or what destroys the marriage. Doesn't take away from God. He's got the perfect relationship in place. What do we do with it? And how much do we love our spouse? There's something that at a wedding takes place, and honestly, the groom and the bride are anxious to get to that point. And I mean, everybody's watching them to begin with, but they're waiting for this to take place, and everybody out in the pews is waiting for this to take place, and the kids start to giggle and chuckle when it takes place. But it's a really important part of the marriage. And the pastor has the privilege of turning the groom and the bride to each other, and he says, "Husband, you may now kiss your bride." The kids will chuckle. Everybody out in the congregation, and they start clapping even. And the bride and the groom, they're going, "Phew, this is pretty much over now." But it starts to set a very good course for the marriage, is that they're joined together when they're in lip lock. "Husbands, you may now kiss your brides." So I'm going to take one more step, and I'm going to ask that, "Husbands, you would stand up." And I'll wait till we get there. I know some of you are getting slow. "Wives, I'm going to ask that you stand up." Some of you have been married an awful long time, but I'm thinking a refresher course is always good for both the husband and the wives. So husbands, you may now kiss your bride. And you can do that now. Husbands, now don't you feel better? You got smiles on your face just like you're waiting for somebody to go. We love our wives, don't we? And wives, you really love your husbands, don't? This shouldn't be so hard. Marriage shouldn't be hard. Amen? Lord, we thank you for the word that you've given. Lord, I know that it applies to the ones that are married here, but Lord, it also applies to the experience and the lives that we have seen and the ones who maybe the spouse has passed on. And Lord, I got this funny feeling that whenever we all get home permanently, we're going to run up to that person. And I know what Scripture says, but we'll know exactly who they are and what they were to us here. Lord, maybe that opportunity for that kiss will come then. But Lord, I pray that in the process of becoming one, we do not lose sight of what you've set in place, the perfect relationship. So Lord, thank you for your words. Let us be good experience for younger ones. Lord, let us consistently lift each other in prayer. In Jesus' precious name, amen.